faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Let me slip over, this ain't in my notes or anything, but I think it's found in Romans, is it chapter 4 that I'm looking for? Yeah, thank you, brother. Who was that, Brother David? Thank you, Brother David. Let's go Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham also. I won't read it all. It starts with verse 16, goes down through there. And then it says in verse 19, not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, that's found in Genesis chapter 12, the first four verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, skip down, he went out, not knowing whether he went. What a tremendous leap of faith. Abraham not knowing. Now, I don't know about you, but being a husband and a father and having the responsibility of providing for my family, it'd be hard for me to just pick up and go. If God said, I want you to go to the west, and that's all he told me, and I knew it was God, it would be hard for me to just muster up enough faith and obedience to God, and just because I would have questions. I said, well, God, which state? What do you want me to do? Evangelize? Pastor? Is there somebody you want me to deal with, God? Is there a situation there, God? But you don't find that in Abraham's life. It just said that the Lord spoke to him and told him to get up. I mean, this was his hometown. Brother Daniel, you got a wife and a son, Brother Landon, and it'd be, if God just said, just woke you up, you knew it was God. So I want you to get up. I want you to quit your job. I want you to quit everything. I want you to forget mom, forget dad, forget everybody. Forget every emotional contact, every sentimental value that you have with where you're living at right now. Get up. I got something for you to do. I want you to go yonder. I want you to travel west. I want you to travel east. And I'll tell you, you'd probably be like me. You'd be saying, now, God, I need a little bit more information. I need a little bit more. Can you tell me a little bit more, God? I want to preach tonight that the Lord had helped me on marching off the map. That's what I'm preaching about. Marching off the map. But I'll tell you what, when you live your life for God and you are sincere, now if you ain't sincere, it probably won't, this message will probably bore you, but if you're really sincere, you're trying to find God's will and the will of God in your life. You know, sometimes God's will, a lot of times God's will is not always easy. Matter of fact, I heard Brother Elliot Collins say that the greatest battle that he has ever went through his entire life, his entire ministry, was to stay in the center of God's will. I didn't give a lot of thought to that when I heard that probably 10 or 12, 15 years ago, but I thought it was sort of strange because I was just a young Christian and just young preacher boy getting started, and I thought, well, that ain't my greatest trial, you know. Well, I was just getting started. The Lord hadn't told me to leave home. I still lived in the holler, you so to speak. I hadn't gave up anything. I hadn't went nowheres. Amen. I hadn't hardly been out of the county, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? I still said mater and tater and Adderall, it'll all be over. Adderall, will, you know, I still sung like that. Y'all probably can't hardly believe that. Maybe you can. And but what I'm saying is God spoke to Abraham, and he not knowing whether he went. God didn't say, Abraham, I've got a man over there. He's going to give you $1 million. I'm going to provide for you every meal. I'm going to feed your family. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to lead you into some great and mighty miracles. Not at this time. All that God spoke to Abraham is get up and go. And the Bible said that Abraham went up and went out, him not knowing. You got to catch that now, not knowing whether he went. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. If you think Christianity is boring, you just ain't been praying. Praise God. I mean, if you get to praying and a seeking the face of God, I'm not just talking to preachers tonight. I'm talking about the lay Christians, everybody here, man, woman, teenager, old folk, young folk, middle age, whatever. Hey, it doesn't matter. Amen. If you're eager, and you're hungry for God, amen, God liable to speak to you, amen, to do something you never have done before. You see, so many times, young folks, I've heard young folks say, well, church is boring. Christianity is boring. But can you imagine, look at, amen, what men have done in the Bible. Amen. You know the reason why the Bible is so exciting when you read the life of Abraham, and in the text that I use is from Hebrews 11, which is the great hall of fame. Men like Moses, Abel and Enoch and Noah, Isaac, Jacob and Joseph. Men that was not fearful to travel off the map. You know, some folks, they got to know every single little detail. There's a story that's told of Alexander the Great, how that he took his Greek army and he journeyed across Asia Minor many years ago, amen, to discover that they had actually marched clear off the map. And the only map that they had was a Greek map, and it showed that they had plumb marched off of the map. It was in unknown territory. Amen. And I want to preach to us as a church, as a group, as an individual. Amen. As individuals, that I'll just wonder, when's the last time we've marched off the map, spiritually speaking? When's the last time we have adventured, amen, off into something, amen, and just praying and seeking the face of God and hungry for God? The Bible said in Matthew chapter 7, amen, it talked about whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. Amen. It's like the man that built his house upon the rock and the storm came. The whole strength, the whole importance of that is not the storm. It's really not even the house. It is the act of obedience. He that heareth and doeth them. I want to tell you, my friend, if you think Christianity is boring, amen, I'll open your Bible, go to praying, fast you about 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7 days, and see if God don't put you to work. God didn't call any of us to be a bench warmer. God called us to be a disciple. We're children of God. There's a lost and dying world right here in our community. I've been thinking real strong the last 2 or 3 weeks. Amen. I'd like to know the population. I don't know it. I could probably find out. But I'd like to know the population of Montgomery. I'd like to know the population of Prattville and Millbrook and Wetumpka and Clanton within just a few miles of this church. And look here tonight. Here's on a Wednesday night. How many we got here? Are we lucky we got tonight? When there's probably over would I be safe in saying 500,000? Would that be a safe estimate, Brother Excel? and probably maybe more when you think of Montgomery. Man, and here we are. God's put this church many years ago through Brother Gentry and whoever helped him have that burden, had that vision. What were they doing when they bought this property? They was marching off the map. They was going to do something for God. Amen. They had an adventure. They had a dream. They had something God had put in their heart. That's the only thing that Abraham had was a voice that spoke to him and said, get up and go. Amen. Some of you come on there. That's what Brother Gentry no doubt had when he built this church, when he bought this property. All he had was God spoke to him. I'll tell you something. When a man of God hears from God, hell better watch out. Amen. Amen. When a woman of God hears from God, hell better watch out. Amen. When that man of God hears from God, amen, and makes a step of faith in the direction that his heart, amen, has whispered by the Spirit of God. I want to tell you something. Abraham marched off the map. Amen. He goes down in the history of the Bible as being the father of the faithful. Father of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Known as a friend of God. No questions asked. Wow. Woo. Not knowing whether he went. I can imagine. I hope Sister Vader don't mind me preaching like this. I sure wouldn't want to hurt her anyway, but this is good memories. Amen. But I can just imagine her probably being Brother Gentry's wife making that step, buying this land. Some of you elder people will no doubt hear. I can just see y'all just, man, that's a big venture. That's a challenge. We're stepping out here. We're buying some property. Sort of in the middle of nowhere is then. If I understand right, it wasn't. I mean, I can see now, you know, yeah, buy 5 acres right here, right in the main drag, right across the mall. Yeah, that'd be a good spot. Amen. But back then, you know, amen, that all that was I heard God say, I found this little piece of property. I don't know. I haven't talked to Sister Veda about, I found, and I just feel good in my heart. I feel good in my soul. I feel like it's the will of God. Come on here, amen. And I just, in just that leap of faith, amen, that adventure, amen, to step out and do something for God, amen. Oh, I wonder tonight on this Wednesday afternoon, when's the last time, my friend, God has put something in your heart? When's the last time God spoke to you in the middle of the night? When's the last time God spoke to you through, amen, traveling down the road? When's the last time God spoke to you and just placed a little something in your heart to do to a fellow Christian or a lost person? I'm asking you, have you marched off the map lately? Have you done anything lately? Have you just went out, amen, and done a little extra? Woo! Oh, yes. Can you imagine if our people that's in medicine, you go back, we were sitting there in the hospital this morning, Sister Carolyn, and Sister Carolyn mentioned something to me about reading a Civil War book, and I think it was you and Sister Carolyn, and talking about how they went cutting them limbs off, those arms and legs off, and they wouldn't have, when they would run out of ether, I think is what she said, they just cut them off anyhow, put them over in a pile. And just a big pile, you know. Amen. But what's happened since then and now? Amen. Somebody kept studying. Somebody kept advancing. Somebody had a dream. Somebody had wanted to find a cure. Amen. Somebody found the cure for smallpox. Somebody found the cure for this. What did they do? They kept adventuring out. Are you with me? Amen. Look at the electronics. My Lord, I mean, I read in history about Alexander Bell and the telephone and electricity and all the things. But look where we've come. I've read of the Wright brothers. Amen. Who would was determined to fly that thing. Amen. Now we've got them going, I mean, weighing, what, thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. Who would ever thought, Brother XL, 100 years ago that you'd get something that weigh 100,000 pounds in the sky or plumb to the moon or plumb to the space station? Who would ever thought? Amen. I guarantee you there was a lot of skeptics saying, you'll never get that. This will never happen. Well, time is coming gone. Amen. But how many times
times when you start out for God, did anybody look at you and say, Daniel, he'll never make it. He'll last about a month. Amen. He'll never make it. But guess what, Brother Daniel? By the grace of God, you've journeyed through this, amen, so many years now. You've took a leap of faith. You've journeyed on this Christian walk. And by faith, God has established you in the house of God. Others here, no doubt the devil said, you'll never make it. Your friends and your family. The song that says, voted likely not to prosper, left hanging over my head. Folks said I never count for nothing. That's what most people said. Anybody out there? Woo! But I've been known to be unsettled. Not stayed around too long. But I have found a treasure. And I'm still holding on. Oh, yes. I want to challenge you tonight. Amen. By the grace of God. Somehow we've lost that adventurous wonder. Amen. To do something new for God. Amen. You remember when you first got saved? Amen. And you had an eagerness. You witnessed to everybody. You called everybody in your family. You called all your friends. You told them what great things for God. Amen. We've all heard that. We've all heard them stories how that folks got on fire for God and some elder family or some elder man said, well, that'll die down in 4 or 5 months and he'll be like the rest of us, you know. Amen. I don't want it to die down. I don't want it to die down. I don't want that eagerness to do something for God. Amen. I remember hearing, amen, Brother Kevin Lloyd. How many knows Brother Kevin Lloyd? Anybody know Brother Kevin Lloyd? Man, you need to meet him. Great, great brother. Come from a broken home. He evangelized for probably 10 years, I guess, in the wholeness movement. Evangelized all over America. Just took a church in Ohio. And praying. I mean, just unreal. Brother Kevin said, I heard him tell it. If I remember right, or heard somebody, no, I think I heard him tell it at Whitesburg. He said he'd been preaching revivals and hadn't seen anybody got saved. And so he said that he got a little discouraged and got to praying about it. He started fasting. I don't remember how many days he had fasted. But he got to fasting and he went several days in his fast and he was praying. And he come across, I think it was at was it D.L. Moody that won a soul to Jesus every day for several years in a row? And then the next day he challenged himself, next year he challenged himself, and he won 2 souls a day for Jesus. Amen. Somehow he come across that. And if I remember right, Brother Kevin said, I got so hungry that morning and I went to prayer. And he said, I was in revival. And he said, and he was close to a city. And he said that, he said, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go down here to the city. And I'm not going to come back until somebody prays. Brother Kevin said he went down there and started going down those streets. And he said, now which way, Lord? Which way? There's somebody here lost you want me to deal with? You want me to talk with? I'm willing. I want to, Lord. I want to do something here. I want to march off the map, so to speak. And he said, all of a sudden he come to a red light and said, Lord, this way and that way. Finally, he parked. Then he got to walking. He went down this block and he would come to a red light and he said, which way, Lord? And he just sort of feel nugged, he said. And I'm talking about a man I got great confidence in, just a tremendous young man, probably about 30, 32 now. And all of a sudden he come up to a red light. There was a group of people there fixing to cross the street. And as he was crossing the street, it turned where they could go. And Spirit nugged him and said, that man right there beside of you, talk to him about me. Talk to him about Jesus. He looked over and distinguished man and Brother Kevin said, all right, Lord. So he said they kept walking across the street and he said about the time they hit the sidewalk on the other side, he said, excuse me, sir. He said, are you a Christian? That blunt. And the man stopped, looked him square in the eye, said, why? What are you? He said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I've been to praying, and And he said, I come down here. And he told him, said, I told the Lord I want to deal with somebody that was in trouble, somebody that needed help. Kevin said, this man started crying. Kevin said, this man started crying. Distinguished man, suit and tie guy. Said he started crying, and he said, preacher, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. I've never seen you in my life. He said, but I told God last night. He said, I've been contemplating suicide. I told God, God, if you're real, send somebody my way to talk to me. Oh, God. Amen, Brother Kevin said that man stood right there on that city street. Amen, prayed that sinner's prayer. Gave his life to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about marching off the map. I'm talking about getting tired of being stagnant, getting tired of just coming to church. You know, some folks just get so bored, they just want to almost quit. I'm just going to quit. It ain't nothing going on. And I'm not trying to be rude or crude or whatever. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Don't blame everybody. I mean, get in there and pray. Seek the face of God and say, God, burn in my heart. Amen. It's been a long time since I've been burning for sinners and backsliders. Amen. I've whatever. Amen. It's been a long time since I have prayed through and got a burden for lost souls. That's what made a difference in Sister Gail Myers' life. Anybody read her book? You need to read it. One of us that started over 150 churches in Mexico. Wow. Give me something to drink, Brother John, please. A little sip of water or something. I preached a revival in her home church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Brother Binkley there, Rick Binkley. Brother Binkley told me, he had a little upstairs to that church, and Sister Gail Myers, 50 or 60 years ago, was engaged to a man, just a young person in that church, sincere with God. She's engaged to get married and got right up to the day, and something happened, and the guy changed his mind, and her whole world come crushing down. All of a sudden, she started praying, seeking the face of God, and the next thing you know, God calls her and deals with her to go be a missionary to Mexico. She goes over there. Matter of fact, from what I can understand, the Holiness Movement, she was one of the first pushers of missions in our movement. She went over there. Her lady, they call her Mama Gail. I've heard Brother Don Rich tell stories. I've heard Neil Bridges tell stories. I've heard Gary Edenfield tell stories about Mama Gail. How when Brother Bridges preached for me a few years ago, and he told me about how that he goes over to the Kuna Indians in Panama, how that they fly in there, and then they get in another plane, and they fly out to a little remote island, and then they get over in a canoe built out of just a homemade canoe, and they go several miles upstream, amen, to another village, and then they walk like 5 or 10 miles, and they said Sister Gail Myers, that in her 60s, amen, would do that, amen, walk right up there, amen, and they would just almost worship her, them Kuna Indians, not actually, but I mean just the respect is what I'm saying, the reverence. They would call her Mama Gail, Mama Gail. Why? Because she had brought the gospel to their village. She had told them of the love of Jesus. Amen. Somebody, amen, did not, a lot of young ladies would have thought their life would have been over to get right up to a marriage, Brother Daniel. Amen. And no doubt it was hard for a few weeks, but she didn't backslide over. She didn't die out. You know what she did? She drew close to God. Amen. And it became a vessel of honor, and God used her for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about marching off the map. When's the last time you talked to a total stranger about Jesus? When's the last time you fasted more than you've ever fasted? Too many times our experiences are 20 years and 10 years ago. Well, I tell you, when this church was a rocking, Amen. I tell you, in the past, God was a moving. I mean, and that's all great and wonderful. I don't want to take away from that in the least. But I'm telling you, the same God, amen, is alive and well tonight. We can have a most powerful church in the state of Alabama if we can get a group of people that wants to march off the map. They're tired of the average. They're going to get up a little bit more earlier and go to prayer. They're going to read their Bible a little bit more. They're going to become a little bit more dedicated. They're going to seek the face of God and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do today, amen, I've got to go to work, but God, if there's anybody in my job, amen, that's suffering in a marriage, on drugs, God, help me to say the right words. Help me to have the right words. Say the right kind words. Lord, help me to be like the apples of gold and pitchers of silver and that word that's fitly spoken. Help me to march off the map today. Woo! Ah, you say, I can't do it. Wait a second here now. There's too many Bible examples. What about Nehemiah? He wasn't a preacher. Wasn't a priest. He didn't have an army. He had no prestige. He had no money. All he had was a burden. But I want you to notice something. It's found in Nehemiah chapter 2. You remember when he went out to the wall there and that midnight hour and he viewed the city? And the Bible says he didn't tell anybody. And there's a little line that says, what God had put in my heart. Did you catch that phrase? It's in there. What I hadn't told anybody what God, I read it, listen to me. Listen, what God had put in my heart. Amen. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Amen. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Nehemiah, you were 700 miles away. Nehemiah, you had no army. You had no money. You had no prestige. You were a slave. It don't matter when God puts it in your heart. It don't matter if you're $98,000 in debt like I was. And God said, go take that little church. It's got $13 in the bank and they're about to lose their church. $98,000 in debt. Land, truck, trailer. Land. I got some land. Did have some land. Come on, I don't want to put no feathers in my head by any means. What I'm just sharing with you is when God puts it in your heart, it doesn't matter the odds. It don't matter the devil. It don't matter the adversary. When God puts it in your heart. I'm not talking about something you dreamed up. I'm not talking about something you had eat too many soup beans and you dreamed, or you eat too much pizza. Y'all don't know what soup beans are. Or pinto. Yeah, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about when God puts something. You know, you don't hardly read it. You don't read that, and you just read it. He had a bird, but here he lets us inside his heart. He said, but God had put something in my heart. He could have said, but God, I don't have no money. I don't have an army. I don't have no prestige. I don't have a bulldozer. I don't have a high lift. I don't have any chainsaw. How am I going to cut all that wood down? What am I going to do, God? I need thousands and thousands of people. God, they're a discouragement. What am I going to? He could have, no. All he did, the Bible says in chapter 1, he prayed, he fasted, he mourned, and he wept. It said, God, amen. In other words, if you put this in my heart, you'll open the door. I was praying years ago. Russell McDonald called me. You know how he does. He said, son, I was praying for you today, this morning. And he said, the Lord told me to call you and tell you that he's opened a door for you. He said, there are going to be a few hills and a few valleys. And he mentioned some other things. And then he told me, he said, but I didn't see any mountains. He said, you'll not have to face a mountain. I said, I know what you mean. hung up the phone. I'd been on a fast for about 5 or 7 days, something like that. I can't remember. I'll tell you something. When God puts it in your heart. When's the last time God put something in your heart? Sister Carolyn, you've been saved 37 years almost. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know when God, you told me today how God used Brother Brad about saving John. How that he felt that and stood up and testified. I think if I got that right, ain't it? How Brother Brad, God used Brad about how the Lord dealt with him. And he stood up and by faith, Brad, you spoke that. I mean, visually with your eyes, you probably thought, man, he'd been unsaved for a lot of years. But there's something when God speaks to you, the odds just don't matter. Come on, I'm trying to help you tonight. When God's, the odds just don't matter when it's God. I mean, natural law, when God says, walk on the water, amen, the odds of you sink, it doesn't matter. Peter stepped out of the boat, amen, and marched off the map right onto something that should have sunk. Come, I mean, he marched right off, amen, and done something for God. Oh, I would to God, amen, that this church would get a heart and get a vision and get a burden to march off the map for God and say, God, use us. Use this church, God. Oh, take away every problem, amen, and give us one common goal, and that is to win the lost at any cost for Jesus Christ. Send the drunkard. Send the homosexual. Send the prostitute. Send the alcoholic. Send the broken home folks. God, send the dope addict. Send that's on meth. God, let our church march off the map and do something for God. Woo! Thank you, Holy Ghost. Brother Donnerit said he went overseas. I can't remember what church it was at. He said it was a wholeness church. And they had, I want to think, 1,500 members. It's the largest wholeness church he's ever been in. And he said, you know how Brother Don Rich is? He said, and brother, it was holiness too. You know? He said, I'm talking about a straight wholeness church. And he said, I went up to that pastor. I said, brother, what do you do? How do you have this many people? He said, Brother Rich, he said, we have, I don't know the exact words Brother Rich used, but in other words, just for instance, like Jason that prayed Sunday, he said, before that man ever prayed, we already had a couple couples praying. They were going to be responsible for the church that got so big to pray for that next person got saved. They were supposed to be responsible for getting his name and address, telephone number, where he lived at. And then that week, them two families surrounded him with love. Surrounded his wife, surrounded that family with love. Amen. Knocked on their door. Amen. I just sent a letter but really just made a special effort. And he said, you'd be surprised of what that little extra attention. And he said, Brother Rich, that's all I know. And he said, we don't hardly have any people that come and pray and don't keep coming back. Let me ask you something. Can I be a little bold? Have you prayed for Jason this week? His name's Jason, right? Huh? Have you prayed for Jason? I believe most of you have. But you see the emphasis. I mean, you said he never prayed, right? That you can remember. Has anybody fasted this week for him? He prayed right here. Are we marching off the map? Come on. Are we marching off the map, church? Are we going to different adventures, things for God? Oh, God. What about Melvin Holland? You don't know Melvin. He ain't a preacher. He's just a layperson. He went to Calvary Church where I pastored in Kentucky. Several years ago, church got on fire for God, and old Melvin wanted to see somebody saved. There was a church where they rented a building at, and And there was a bridge that was right within half a mile of town, Pineville Town, a little country town about like Clinton or something. Probably it's a little bit smaller than that. There was a bridge there, says Carolyn. And one day Brother Melvin was off work, and just a lay preacher, not a preacher, just a lay person, just a young Christian in the church. And he was probably 30, I guess, at that time, 28 to 30. And he got so eager, he came to church and he prayed. And his projects all around that church where they rented. I mean, all kinds of projects. Of course, it's different there than here. You say projects here, I know it's different there. And so he come out of that church and he walked about 100 yards and he walked on that bridge. Because he said, well, they can't get away from me right here. He said, they got to walk right by me. So he went out there and stood right in the middle of that bridge. And the first young man come by was 14-year-old named Tim Kaufman, whose daddy he did not hardly know, whose mama was a harlot, who had had all kinds of men his growing up. He was taken, they had him on suicide watch. They had him on all kinds of just crazy medicine. His mama was trying to get a check on him. Just you get the picture. And here comes Tim walking down. Never been to church here. Melvin. Excuse me, young man. What's your name? Tim. My name's Melvin. How you doing today? It's hot outside, ain't it? Yeah. Said, you know Jesus? Do you pray? I don't know all exact words, but and as they got this conversation going, you just got to know Tim. He is. Well, man, you won't believe this, man. Just last night, man. Said, I was in my bedroom and looking up and said, my world was just crashing in. My mama done cussed me out and her husband done beat her. And said, just last night, I just asked God, if you're real, send somebody my way. Tim started crying. Melvin said, right there is the church. You don't walk back over. That's where I go. They walked right back over there. They called a few of the brethren. Tim got saved. Tim stayed saved. Tim got married to another girl, got saved out of a mess about something like just like that. They had three little babies. Come on here. Because somebody marched off the map. Somebody done something a little bit out of the ordinary. Come on here. Somebody got a little bit excited and said, Lord, I'm tired of being stagnant. Amen. Come on. I was driving down the road last night. Me and my wife was about 9:30. I passed the house. And I felt like the Spirit spoke to me and said, stop. They need some money. I pulled up in the front yard. Just a little something. I said, where are they up, honey? Did you see the light? I said, let's turn around. We pulled in. We seen a little faint light. Just marching off the map. Before we left, we gave him a little piece of money. It wasn't a stranger, though. I knew him. I'm just talking about marching off the map. Is that all right? When was the last time you broke a record for praying the longest? Huh? When was the last time you broke the record for praying the most? Sometimes you brothers at work, I mean, every Saturday's playing. I understand that. When's the last time, though, you just planned a Saturday? Honey, I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I just need something in my soul. I'm just tired of me. I'm just tired of me. I'm just going to go down there and pray a while. Huh? I'm just tired of me. I'm just going to go down there and pray till I'm just tired of me. I've just got so hateful anymore. I'm just tired of myself. I'm just going to go down there and see if I can't pray through. Come to the piano, girls, please. Help me, Holy Ghost. I've told you that when my wife got sick, she went to reading the Bible, Sister Wanda, on her knees. Didn't make her any more spiritual because she read it on her knees. But in 3.5 years, she read it from cover to cover almost 5 times on her knees. Every morning, every night, on her knees, she read the entire, from Genesis to Revelation. She knew she's in trouble. She marched off the map. I tell you what, it solves a lot of church trouble is when you get folks praying and marching off the map. Because when you march off the map, you don't care about self. Your will dies. Your ideals and your plans fade out. And all of a sudden, you become a vessel of honor meant for the master use. You remember that scripture, don't you, over in, what is it, Timothy? Peter over there, Timothy, talks about that vessel of dishonor, that vessel of honor. And then it talks about, I always thought that vessel of dishonor was talking about lost people, but it's not. Look it up. It just means just like you ladies, you got that fine china you got in your china cabinet, but then you got those everyday dishes. But that scripture implies when you read that, that it says if you're a vessel of dishonor, you can purge yourself. You can be meat for the master's use. And it suggests that you can go from just an ordinary to one of honor. The world has got this thing now called extreme sports. Have y'all seen it? Y'all seen extreme skateboarding, extreme bicyclists, extreme everything? Tell you what we need in the house of God. We need some extreme Christians. We need some Christians that, no, not that can't remember the last day they fasted. They say, every week I'm going to fast if it's just one meal. Where are you at? But Simpson, you're trying to get me out of my comfort zone. I never handed a stranger any money before. I've never handed out a tract, Brother Simpson. Huh? Never handed out a tract. I've been coming here for about 4 years. I've never seen any tracts out here. I don't know if we hand out tracts or not. Nothing wrong with handing out tracts. Right when you leave that tip on that table, leave a track. I took that little church in California. Little church in Calvary. You know what we did? By the help of the Lord, and those people did. I mean, when you got 17 people, you're in debt and the church is in debt and everything's going under. You better march. You better get a hold of God. I ordered a bunch of tracts, and within about 6 months, we passed out over 5,000 tracts in a little big town about like Clanton. We'd meet folks in Walmart, God being my witness, and say, I picked up one of your tracts. We'd go to witness and somebody say, I picked up one of your tracts. So I picked it up in the bathroom at Walmart. We had a family come that picked one of the tracts up off of a telephone booth. And when they come to church, they show me the track. Said, it's got your address and service time. Said, we just wanted to come. Said, man, we don't hardly see that around here. I think that's why God turned that thing around, Brother Daniel. That now it's running around 67. Yeah. March off the map. I paid every bill. The devil told me I'd go bankrupt. I paid every bill. Never missed a one. Never missed a one. You seen it? Y'all seen that $200 Cadillac I drove up here, didn't I? Didn't you? Remember that? A $200 Cadillac. That's farther than off the map. I don't know what that is. that's marching plumb off the paper or something. I don't know. From a $40,000 truck to a $200 Cadillac. But my wife never complained. Marching off the map. Is there a Nehemiah in the house? Is there a Kevin Lloyd in the house? Let's stand all over the house. We love you tonight. I'll try to challenge you with the word of the Lord. God, you gave us this beautiful church.
Building your kingdom.
Oh, God.
Redeeming.
I pray, God, that you bring every family member of each mom and each dad in this house. I pray for their children daily. I pray for your grandchildren. Though I don't know all of them by name. God, bring them to the house of God. But I also been praying, Lord, send the stranger. Send the stranger, Lord. That you talked about in the book of Exodus. When you told the children of Israel, be kind to the stranger. Because for once you were a stranger. But I brought you in. You be kind to that stranger. You have compassion toward that stranger. Well, send the stranger.
Making a difference in those around.
Bringing the neighbor's kids to Sunday school.
Give me compassion.
Maybe showing a little extra kindness to a next door widow woman. What about that scripture that pure religion and undivided is this, that you visit the widows and the fathers? And the,
Lord, huh? I want to make a difference.
I want to make a difference, Lord.
To make a difference.
God, I've been self-centered in my prayers lately. I
want to
make a difference. I want to march off the map, God.
The tide so live through me,
man at work, you know, struggling.
Me, speak through
reckon what a $10 handshake might do.